Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. And we're going to be exploring how God joins, in this next sermon series, how God joins those things that we may think are separate but actually are together. And this Sunday, we're talking about how the love of God is connected to the love of our neighbor. And to do that, we're going to read a passage that maybe you've only been in the church for a little while, maybe you've been in a long time, but if you've been in a church for any kind of amount of time, there's probably a moment where you've heard this verse. It's one of those fundamental verses that we hold on to as the church from the Gospel of Mark, and it comes from the words of Jesus at the end of the Gospel as he's entered into Jerusalem, right? This is the beginning of the end, where he is challenging those who are in power and authority, and he's bringing it to the heart of the matter. And so this is in the midst of his debate kind of with the leadership, kind of the elite of the elite who are in power. And he's come in and he's challenged some things. A couple of things that he's done is he's challenged their motivations. And so he's kind of called them out for being people who are kind of focused on money and greed, and called them out for being people who are focused on kind of holding on to their power. And so in the midst of this debate, in the midst of this challenge, in the midst of Jesus kind of bringing this really challenging word and defiant word against some of the things that are going against what God desires, we have this moment. And so it's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. And it says this: "One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them," that is Jesus, "well," he asked him, "which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any questions." This is the word of God for the people of God, and together we say, thanks be to God. I like this story. One, because scripture sometimes takes some real imagination to get into, right? Sometimes the stories we read take a lot of intentional effort. We got to look into the history. We got to look into a lot of stuff that's behind it just to kind of tease out some of the truth and some of the things that are there. But other parts of the Bible are just kind of right there, pretty clear, right? And this is one of those pretty clear passages, I think, where Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. He's asked what the heart of the matter is, and Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. But one of the reasons I like this story is because if you take a little time just to think about it, I think it's a sizing up story. You know what I mean? Have you ever had a new coworker come into the office, right? And they're new, right? And so you're going to, who is this person? And am I going to trust them? You got to like, all right, where are you at? We got to do some judging here. We got to do some judging. I got to watch you. I've got to observe. I've got to figure out what you're about, right? And if we're being honest, a lot of times it's probably motivated by our own convenience. Are you going to be a hindrance to me? Are you competent, right? Are you nice, right? Most of the time it's probably focused on what we're going to get out of it, if we're being real, right? But maybe it's someone coming into the family, right? Maybe someone's bringing their boyfriend or their girlfriend for around the first time and you're like, who is this, right? Because we've seen the last few and we ain't fans, right? Okay, but how, if we're being real, right? We spend a lot of time in life trying to figure out what people are about. And if we really boiled that down, if we put it in a pot and we set it on the stovetop for a while, and we really boiled it down, I think what we would find is, yes, sometimes it's about our own self-interest. Yes, it's about sometimes, trust. And I think the more you kind of sit down, the deeper it gets. But I think really at the end of the day, whether it's noble or it's just for our own convenience, what we're really trying to figure out is what's the heart, what's the motivation behind the new person that I'm interacting with? Why are they here? Why are they in this space? Why are they in my space? What's the heart behind what they're doing? If we really boil it all the way down, it comes to wanting to understand someone's motivation and the heart behind what they're doing and why they're doing it. And we do this, right? We do this at work, colleagues. And the interesting thing is this is two colleagues figuring that out about each other. Jesus and this scribe are sizing each other up, right? They're judging each other. They're trying to figure out. They're asking questions about each other, right? Because there's some conflict happening. Jesus walked in and he flipped the money tables and he said, "My house is a place of prayer, not greed and wealth." And then he went on after that, because the Pharisees, well, by what authority are you doing this? Because their authority is being challenged. And he says, okay, by what authority did John baptize? And they're like, well, if we say it wasn't of God, the people are going to be mad. And then if we say it's God, then people are going to be like, then why'd you let him die? Right? Like, so they're stuck. And so they would say, oh, we don't know. Right? Because at the heart of it, really what they're thinking about, what they're caring about, and what the story is trying to tell us is the people in power are really afraid of two things, losing their money and losing their position. That's really what's going on. And so it's in the middle of this, right? And the scribe's walking by and he's hearing the things that Jesus is saying. And he's like, what is this? I got to figure this out. And so he comes in and he asks a question that was actually a really important question, right? What's the most important commandment? This is one in the religious life of the community of rabbis and things like this. This was like the question to ask. And so he asked the question a pastor would ask to another pastor, a rabbi to another rabbi, right? A teacher to another teacher. He says, what's the most important commandment? And then this is Jesus' answer. And the interesting thing is Jesus answers, right, with the Shema, which is the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. This comes from Deuteronomy. Very important passage in Jewish religious life, right? Very important passage for the church, Christian church as well. But then he tacks on a new addition. He quotes, there's so much quoting just in these couple verses. It jumps all over the Old Testament. So Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. Then he goes on to quote Leviticus to say, part of what it means to do that core commandment is indistinguishable from the love that we share with our neighbor. He says, there is no believing in the one God and loving God with all of your being if you are not also loving your neighbor. That's what Jesus is claiming. That's a new addition. That's a challenge. That is the word he is bringing against what he is facing. The opposition, he is saying, you have lost the heart of the matter. To worship God is indistinguishable of how you treat one another and care and love for one another. That's what Jesus is saying. And the scribe comes back. He says, you're right. I hear you. I see you. I recognize what you're saying. And he agrees with Jesus. He agrees with the one that really wasn't that controversial, right? The one that was pretty normal. He said, that's right. And also you're right about Leviticus. And then he goes on to quote the prophet Hosea, which says that loving and caring for those in need is greater than any offering that we can give to God. So he adds on to it. He says, yes, you're right about Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Also, let's talk about the prophets, because they say that what you have just said is greater than anything you can do as part of your religious and worship of God. That is the most important thing. And then Jesus recognizes him. See, the scribe came in because he saw something about the heart of Jesus and he wanted to see where it really was. And what he found was someone who was kindred in heart. And he reflects that in his response, in the addition that he adds to Jesus' words. And then we see Jesus recognize that heart of the scribe. And the moment ends by saying, you're not far from the kingdom. Right? Jesus says that this is the heart of truly what does it mean to worship God.
Yes.
It is found in a living love to our neighbor and a desire to see God's justice in the world. That is our offering to God. And I love that Mark doesn't let anything else be said about that story. That's the end of the moment. Goes on. Jesus continues on to his challenge to the church. He's like, you're devouring the widow's mite, right? He's going in. And he's saying, you're living unjustly. Why don't you worship God? How God is called to be worshiped. To rediscover that there is no worship without a just community of love and care for one's neighbor, for the stranger, for the orphan, for the widow. There is no faith outside of this. There is no worship God outside of this. You ever have one of those bad days where you just can't? You know what I mean? You just can't. You're going along your day and you don't even have the capacity to filter. You're just done. I'm not going to pretend, and I don't really care what people think about it. I had one of those days. I've had many of those days, but one of the days I had, I remember, I woke up and the 2 days leading into this day were not great. And so I woke up, I went to bed on the wrong side, and I woke up further on that side. You know what I mean? And so I woke up, getting ready for the day, and I was on my way out. I had to get gas, and so I decided to get some industrial caffeine while I was there. Went in, get an energy drink, because I was just like, right now, I don't have energy. I don't got anything. So let me just try something. So I go in, I get the energy drink. I go to the counter. Lady, you know, it's early in the morning. It's like 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, she goes through routine. Is this it? I'm like, yeah. She's like, no, cookie, no, whatever. You know, I'm like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, I'm not even looking at her, right? I'm just looking down. I'm like, no, ma'am, I don't want that. And I'm just like waiting for it to say pay. You know, you're just looking at the thing and you're just waiting to pay. I'm just not even recognizing her. And then she says something to me. She says, oh, you going through it too. And I look up at her and she looks me right in the eye. She says, life. I said, keep going, she said. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, you have a good day. I said, you have a blessed day. And she said, you be blessed too. And that was it. Changed my whole day. I don't know if that woman is a Christian, but let me tell you, she ain't far from the kingdom. You hear me? She ain't far from the kingdom. This lady had no need to recognize where I was, to look at me as a human being, to take the time. She had her routine. She does that every morning. She sits at that desk. She asks people if they want a cookie with their energy drink. They say no. She says, okay. She checks them out and they're on their way. She's done that 1,000,000,000 times. But yet, she took time to look at someone's heart. to size them up, but not in judgment. To see me as a human being and to treat me with love. What power is in the gospel? What power is in the name of Jesus when we truly hear and see the life that we have been called to live? That the worship of God is inseparable with how we see the stranger across the counter. That a day can be changed, a life can be transformed in the light of grace and love, of dignity, of justice, of care. To be people who are bold enough to receive it and bold enough to extend it. Did you hear me on that? Bold enough to receive it. Because if you notice, I'm not the winner in that. As far as the person who did the thing, I was the receiver in that. But I found the victory in Jesus in that. When we come together as the body, it is remembering the heart of the matter. Because when we forget the heart, that's when we divide. That's when we begin to devour the widow's mite. That's when we begin to devour people and to say that they're worth less. They're worth nothing. When we lose heart, we lose Christ. The worship of God, the love of God is inseparable from the love that we share with one another. Our lives are a fragrant and beautiful offering to our God. Not perfect. But to God, enough. So much so that we begin to see how much beauty God has for us when we see it in our neighbor. This table is all about the heart. It's All Saints Sunday. Sophia, will you put the names up? These are the saints of our church across the board who have passed away this year. And that sounds really sad, and it is a little bit. But we celebrate this. We name it as the church because, one, we give thanks for the testimony of love that we have received from these saints in our community. We give thanks for the love and the faithfulness that they have lived in our lives. And we take that as a challenge to ourselves to live as that same witness, that we may also be celebrated when it is our time to go on to glory. We also name them in our heart because we realize that there is a now and not yet a part of faith. That God is in the business of restoring the injustice of the world, the brokenness of this world, that death will lose its sting. And what we celebrate is that although those saints have gone to glory, we will one day be reunited together in the fullness of God's love, God's justice, that there will be no need to distinguish the worship of God with the love of another because we will see it only in its fullness. There will nothing that will be coming between that love of God and one another. We will live in a peaceful, just world where the lion lays with the lamb. Amen. And lastly, we celebrate communion on that day because we believe that this is a holy mystery. This space is sacred, that God is mysteriously present. His spirit is alive at this table. That this is a means of grace. That Christ instituted this table not just as a cool thing to do, but as a tangible experience of that gospel love that love of God and neighbor. And when we come to this table, we come with all of the saints, those who have come before us, the generations of faithful to love and care. Those who have come from generation after generation are with us at this table. It is mysteriously the moment in which Jesus gave it, here and now, with all of the church. We always have that space. We always have a place to come back and be in that presence, to be in that heart of God here at this table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Every time you do this, remember me." In the same way, at the end of the meal, he took the cup, he lifted it up, said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of it, remember me." We come to the table with confession in our heart, saying that we are not perfect, that we do not always measure up to the call of love of God and neighbor, but that in every time we come with confessing hearts, we are met with abundant love. God is faithful to forgive, restore, redeem, and lead. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, that you would make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Lord, in this space, make us one with you, Lord. One with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until you come in final victory, and we feast at your heavenly banquet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not going to let the devil get in the way. Here's what we're going to do. This happened earlier. It's probably a false alarm, but we can't pretend it's not. So what we're going to do is, you're going to go out that door. I'm going to confirm it's a false alarm, and then I'm going to invite you back in. We're going to continue to worship. All right, amen? Amen. All right, y'all head out that way. I'm going to confirm it, and we're going to get back to it.